Father in heaven, through the Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us now and teach us this morning out of your word. We're talking, Lord, about a very practical and very important subject, one that's close to the heart and need of each and every one of us. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new kind of being or creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, the Bible teaches us, and we discovered this last Sunday morning as we looked at the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, that the believer or the Christian is different than the unbeliever. He's different in a very real sense and in a very real way. What is the difference? The believer has two natures within him. He has the old Adamic sin nature that he was born with and inherited from Adam, a nature which is totally rebellious against God, a nature which cannot please God in any way. It's aptly named an old sin nature in the Word of God. The only thing that it ever can produce is sin. Even the human good works that are produced by the old nature are unacceptable to God. What does God say about our human works? They are all as filthy rags in His sight. Now, that's the old Adamic sin nature that everyone is born with. And we found that we saw a conflict beginning in the book of Exodus between the Israelites and Amalek. We found that this conflict begins, this warfare begins, after they have received the water which represented the Holy Spirit of God and represented conversion in the life. The moment a person believes on Jesus Christ as Savior, he becomes an entirely different kind of person. Why? Because he not only still has that old sin nature that is just as bad as it ever was and has just the same potential that it ever had, but he also has a new nature, which is the nature of Christ. There are two words used in the Bible to represent these two natures. The old nature is referred to as the flesh. It is also referred to as carnal, that which is the carnal part of man. Now, we cannot look into the New Testament and take and the Word of God and say that every time we find the word flesh, it is always a reference to the old nature. The word flesh is one of those words that is used in two capacities in Scripture. The word flesh is used with reference to human flesh at times. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and the latter day shall stand on the earth. And though worms destroy this body, yet I know that in my flesh, and he was talking there about his body, I shall see God. Thank God in the day of resurrection, he will not have an old fleshly nature anymore. That'll be gone. We'll talk about that later on. Sometimes the word flesh is referring to human skin or bones and flesh, the body. But many, many times the word flesh in the Scripture is a reference to the old sinful nature of man. Then the word spiritual and spirit is used as a reference to the new nature of man. That nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is imparted to the believer the moment he receives and trusts God's Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior. Now, many people look at Christians and they see Christians wanting to go to church. And because they are not Christians themselves, they do not always understand this. And they say, people who are Christians act different. And because that's what Christians are supposed to do. And Christians go to church and they go to prayer meeting and they enjoy reading their Bible and they act different in this wise. But the Bible tells us that Christians do these things. They do not do these things to become Christians. They do not do these things because they want to act like Christians, but they do these things because they are different. The difference is the nature of Jesus Christ that has come to be part of them now that they are believers. And it's the nature of Christ that desires those things. The old nature doesn't like church any more than it ever did. And the old nature isn't interested in the Bible any more than it ever was. But it's the nature of Christ that makes you the new creature. That's the nature that loves the Word. That's the nature that loves the people of God. That's the nature that loves the things of God. Now, we find this morning that we're going to go on and talk about how to have victory over sin. Last Sunday morning, we taught you the reality of the two natures. By quick review, let us note that the Word of God reveals to us the definite fact that the believer has these two natures. Some might be saying, Pastor Graves, are you trying to tell us that every believer is a schizophrenic? I'm not. But I am trying to tell you that every believer does have two natures. Now, if you want to call that schizophrenic, you may. But I don't believe it's schizophrenic in the full sense of the way we interpret that term. No, far from that. We have the nature of Christ and the nature of Adam, or the nature of sin. Now, he tells us this very plainly. Colossians chapter 3. He says, put off the old man, and he says, put on the new man. The old man is another name given to the old nature. The new man is another name given to the new nature. In the book of Ephesians, he speaks to the believer as having two natures. The old nature and the new nature. And the Bible reveals to us very plainly, we saw this last Sunday morning, that these two natures are at war with one another. Israel had received the water from the rock. The rock symbolized the new nature and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Immediately following that, they are struck with war from the outside. Amalek attacks them in the wilderness. The name Amalek means warfare. Amalek was the grandson of Esau. And the Amalekites came against them. The Amalekite, or Amalek, represents in this Bible story the old nature. And the old nature wars against the new nature. The old nature is constantly seeking to assert itself. Now you hold the key. You hold the key. What is the key? God has given to you a will. God has given to you intellect. God has given to you emotion. This is your personality. This is you. And you have the ability to exercise your will, either to submit it to the old nature or to the new nature. It's up to you which nature you submit to. If you submit to the old nature, you produce sin. And that's why you can, as a Christian, sometimes be very disagreeable and do some very terrible things. That's why you can see Christians that will disappoint you at times by their actions. Why? Because the Christian has that same potential to sin. But you can also yield your will to the new nature. But the Word of God tells us there's more than that to this story. I want you to know about that now. Think about this. Listen carefully. The Bible tells us there are things that you can do as a Christian that will enable you to live and yield to the new nature. You go to the doctor and you say, Doctor, I'm having problems with my hand. It doesn't respond. And when I wanted to pick up the food, and for some reason or other, it shakes. And instead of picking up the food, it splatters it all over the table. I try to drink a cup of coffee, and my hand goes like this. Or sometimes it even responds in other ways, and I try to get the food in my mouth, and it goes like this. You see, now people have problems like this. The doctor says, aha, we know just what your problem is. We have a pill for you. And so he gives you the pill, a vitamin or some kind of a pill, or a shot or something. And if you take the pill, that's supposed to make the arm get better. When I was over in Russia, one of the men from Russia was talking to Alex and myself. They have a very elevated idea of what medicine in America is like. And they had heard that in America, we have one pill for every disease. And when you get a disease, you just go to the doctor, he gives you the pill, instant recovery. No matter what you have. Think, wouldn't that be great? And of course, they were looking for a few of those pills. Hoping we brought over a supply with us of some of those pills. This was the elevated view that one of these gentlemen had about the medical progress in America. But you see, you take the remedy. Now, God says that there are certain things that we can do that will produce and help us to live in the Spirit. Certain things that we can do in our lives. I was talking with a college student this last week, and she made a very accurate statement. She said to me, she said, you know, Pastor Graves, I'm the kind of person who has to either walk real close to the Lord, or because if I don't walk real close to the Lord, I'm really far away from the Lord. And you know, I said, you have an excellent grasp of the two natures. You know, there are some people who mistakenly think that they can sort of walk down the middle of the road, that they can be half spiritual and half carnal at the same time. Now, the Bible says that's impossible. And I want you to understand that this morning. You are either yielded to your new nature and walking in the Spirit and Spirit controlled, or you are walking in the old nature and you are fleshly controlled. You are one or the other. These are absolute terms. You cannot yield to both natures at once. Now, if you know in your heart that you're not yielded to the Lord, and that the old nature is asserting itself, then just admit to yourself that you are not producing anything that's pleasing to God, because you cannot serve two masters at the same time. And the Word of God makes it crystal clear, absolutely clear, that you cannot be half spiritual and half carnal or half fleshly at the same time. But there are a lot of Christian people who kid themselves into thinking that, well, I know I'm not doing too good, but I'm not too bad. After all, I go to church and I'm doing this, and I'm sort of satisfied, and they don't get things taken care of, and they try to walk down the middle of the road, and you can't do it. They're walking in the flesh. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh, and you may as well get used to it and admit it. Now, the warfare exists, and the Bible reveals to us here that the old nature loves to attack the new nature. My, how that old nature loves to assert itself and to suggest things that are evil. And my, how it loves to respond to evil and to wickedness. And the Bible tells us that this is the common experience of man. Now, there's another trick that Satan causes us to fall into, and that is this. We are all convinced of the fact that we have an old nature. Say, by the way, have you noticed lately how that many of the people in the churches, church leaders, are beginning, after all these years, to believe that there's a real devil around? Now, you may not think that's significant, but I do. You see, for many years, many of these Protestant denominations, especially, poo-pooed the idea of a real devil. When everybody says, you know, there really is a real devil. Oh, a real devil? What are you, back in the Dark Ages? But now, one by one, the heads of these great denominations are coming out and saying, we believe, after all, there is a devil. Why? Because, listen, Satan for many years has stayed in the background because an enemy that you are not aware of is a deadly and dangerous enemy. But when you come to the place where he feels perhaps now he can really take over, he wants everybody to know that he's there. And the Bible reveals to me that as the world draws closer to the end of the age, that everyone will believe in Satan. And Satan worship will be the chief religion of mankind. Now, if you're going to worship Satan, you have to know that he's there, don't you? And I think it's very interesting that now across the pages of our newspapers, we're finding article after article where church people are saying, well, we didn't used to believe it, but now I really believe there is a devil. Well, it's one thing to believe that he's there, and it's another thing to know how to meet him. Now, the Bible tells us how to do that. And Satan, the Word of God reveals to us that warfare and problems with the old nature is a common experience of man. And you know, a lot of us, we feel, well, now I have this old nature, and so I have some problems. I, after all, it's not perfect, so I'm going to sin a little bit, so I may as well put up with it. After all, I've got the old nature there, and God knows it's there, and He allowed me to be born with it, and so I may as well tolerate it, and all right, I know this is wrong, but I can't help it. I have my old nature. Or we think, well, you know, I don't think anybody else ever feels the way I do. I don't think anybody else has the problem. I'm the only person in the world that has the problem that I have. There's a sin that just gets me, and the old nature asserts itself, and I'm the only one, and it's just too much. I can't get the victory over that. Don't you believe that. Listen to me. There is nothing that happens to any of you that hasn't happened to hundreds of other men like you and women like you. The Bible makes that very clear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you, what? But such as is common unto man. And my friend, the problems of your old nature are no different than the problems of thousands of others. And if you think you're the only one that has the problems and temptations that you have, may I remind you this morning that the Word of God says there are thousands of men who have had exactly the same temptation you have. And I don't care what your problem is, whether you're a kleptomaniac or whether you have all kinds of phobias and things, there are hundreds of others who have the same exact temptation you have. And you're not unique. And you're not alone. And the Bible also goes on in that verse, says that God is faithful and He will never allow Satan to tempt you above that which you are able to bear, but will with that temptation, what? Make a way to escape. so that you will be able to bear it. In other words, we have a direct statement from the Word of God that there is absolutely no excuse for us to sin. We cannot blame God when our old nature asserts itself. We can't say, well, after all, I couldn't help that, God. I have an old nature. And you know how my old nature is. It's a little bit worse than everybody else's. Nobody else ever had one like I do, God. You can't expect anybody to control one like this. Oh, no. God said there's been hundreds of people with that, and some of them have claimed the grace of God, and they've gotten victory over it. And my dear friend, there are hundreds of people who have exactly the same problem you have, and they've gotten victory. And you can have it too, because God made you a promise that He wouldn't let you have a problem that you couldn't handle with His help. So if you are living in defeat today as a believer, it's your fault. 100%! Your fault. Your fault. I'll put it both ways. That's right. I don't have an excuse. You don't have an excuse. Throw them all out the window. Oh, I know we have some good ones, don't we? We have some excuses that are just dilly. My, we can excuse ourselves. People like to blame their parents. You know, I've had people say, well, I can't help it. I was Italian, or I was Irish, and you know what tempers they have. And one woman said, I certainly can't help it because my father was Italian and my mother was Irish. What am I going to do? She actually said that to me one day. I can't help it. I just go off. Well, you know, because Irish, I don't know why. I never noticed that Irish are any worse. I'm English and I have a worse temper than most Irish people and Italian people I know. I don't know where they ever get all that stuff. But my, how people like to manufacture excuses and reasons for what they do. I'm sure I made all the Irish and Italian mad. That's why I threw the English in. All right. Now, you know what's interesting? When you look into the Old Testament, one of the characters where I think this is very well illustrated, and I didn't realize this until I read it in a book recently, and then I looked it up. And you know, in the Old Testament, God took a man by the name of Jacob, and He gave him a new name. His name was Israel. And you know what you find when you read the story of Jacob? You'll find that whenever God talks to Jacob, Jacob's always acting in the old nature. And whenever He talks about Israel, he's always acting in the new nature. And whenever He says Jacob did it, it's the old nature. And whenever He says Israel, it's the new nature. And when you come to the story of Joseph, Jacob said, no, I don't believe it. He's still dead. But then when you read that Jacob comes to the place where he says he's alive, it says Israel said he's alive. Jacob said, no, he's dead. Israel said, he's alive, I believe it. And you follow, read the story of Jacob today. It's in the book of Genesis. And find how that when Jacob was out of the will of God, it was Jacob. When he was in the will of God, it was Israel. The two natures are beautifully revealed in the life of Jacob. Why, even when he died, in Genesis chapter 49, when Jacob died, we read that Jacob died. The old nature died. Thank God when you get to the end of this life, the old nature's finished. Jacob died, but they embalmed Israel. They embalmed Israel. Why? Because the new nature is preserved. Jacob died, and that's the end. But Israel was preserved. Israel is preserved. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? We'll develop that for you further on now. Let's look at the resources of the believer. The resources of the believer. What is the resource of the believer? What can we do now to enhance ourselves, to live in this new nature, so that we will not be overcome when the old nature begins to assert itself? Now, the old nature doesn't always assert itself just in open sin. It just doesn't confine itself to sins like, let's steal, let's commit adultery, let's go out and swear, let's do things like that. It also asserts itself by saying, let's feel hurt, let's get angry, let's gossip. You know, we tend to confine the old nature sometimes to just some of the more gross sins, as we name them. But anything that is against the will of God is of the old nature. Anything. And the old nature manifests itself in many, many ways. Pride. Oh, that's where the old nature is strong. Jealousy. All of these things, you see. All right, now the old nature is there. What has God given to us to combat it? And we find the resources here. The children of Israel went out. The old nature, Amalek, attacked the children of Israel. And so Moses came to Joshua and he said, Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and he fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill with him. Now some people have given all various kinds of representations here. The most common one is to say that Moses represents the Lord Jesus Christ here. I believe that can't possibly be true, Because the type certainly falls down. If Moses represents Christ, then he represents one who fails. Because Moses goes out, and we find in the next verse that Moses' hands were heavy. And it came to, in verse 11, that when Moses held his hands up, Israel won the battle. And when Moses dropped his hands, then Amalek won the battle. Now, that can't be a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ doesn't succeed and fail in the believer's life. If there's any succeeding or failure, it's us, you see. Moses, more properly, represents the believer here. He represents Israel in their struggle against the world. Moses is the representing figure of Israel in conflict with Amalek, which is the old nature. Say, do you have an old nature? Does it trouble you? Does it attack you? All right, it certainly does, doesn't it? What do you have as a resource from God to strengthen you so that you will be able to look to that new nature and war against it and overcome it? The first resource, I believe, here is prayer. Moses' hands were lifted up. The lifted hands in the Old Testament symbolize prayer. Psalm 28, verse 2. There we read in the Psalm that God told men to lift up their hands before God in prayer. First Timothy chapter 2, we find that God says, I wish that men would pray lifting up holy hands unto God. And so this reveals to us that the first resource that the believer has is prayer to God. When the time of temptation comes to your life as a believer, when the old nature begins to assert itself, the wonderful thing about it is that you have ready access to the throne of God. And that we have an invitation from God that at any time and at any moment we might come unto Him in prayer. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. What is prayer? It is not something that has to be formally entered into. Prayer is simply communication with God. It's talking to God. And prayer can take on any kind of form. You do not have to hold your hands up necessarily. Holding up the hand symbolizes prayer, but it is not necessary. You do not have to bow your head and close your eyes. You do not have to go to a special place to pray. You can talk to God anywhere you are. The Bible tells us that the throne of grace is set up for the believer any place he's a believer is. Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain grace. We may obtain grace and find mercy to help in the time of need. Thank God I can pray while I'm not walking down the road. I can pray while I'm in the shower. I can pray while I'm driving. Isn't it wonderful? We can pray while we're driving. We don't have to bow our heads. Isn't that wonderful? Because you see, sometimes you need prayer right in the middle of things, don't you? Oh, God, save me. That's a prayer. Oh, God, help me. I think one of the shortest prayers recorded in the Bible was Peter's. Peter was walking on the water. He took his eyes off the Lord. He started to fall. He didn't say, now, Lord, I want to come to you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If he'd have done that, blah, 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 that would have been the end of it. Peter prayed a very short prayer. He was in trouble. He was sinking. He said, help! And Jesus Christ heard it. He didn't say, our Father. He didn't say, amen. He said, save me, help! And Christ answered his prayer. He answered his prayer. And when your old nature begins to assert you, that's the best prayer you can pray. When the old nature begins to respond to the temptation that Satan assails you with, dear Christian, the first thing to do is to turn your voice toward heaven and say, help, God! Help! Because I want to submit to you that the waves of this world with the flesh and the devil and the world system, as they come against us and begin to assail our old nature, that our old nature is powerless against this tide. And it's only the grace of God that can deliver us from it. Don't try to fight sin yourself. The only way that you can possibly have victory over sin in your life is through the power of Jesus Christ operating in yieldedness to the new nature of Christ that's within you. And your first resource is prayer. Your first resource is prayer. But there's more than that. The second resource that you have is the person of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ is there to help you when the old nature begins to respond and begins to assert itself and say, come on, let's go this way. Let's go that way. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ stands with us in our life against the old nature. This is represented by Aaron. You see, Moses' hands got tired. He couldn't pray. He couldn't hold them up, and his hands begin to fall. So Aaron stood on one side. Aaron represents Jesus Christ. Aaron was the high priest. the one who stood as a mediator between the people and God. And so it is that the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is God who became man, became the one mediator between God and man, so that he might mediate between us, so that he might be there to help us and to strengthen us. The book of Revelation chapter 8, we see the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, and the prayers of the saints are offered up, and Jesus Christ receives those prayers, and he offers them before the throne of God, and then God moves heaven in response to the prayers of the believers offered through the mediation of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 8 verse 3, write it down, look it up and read it. The marvelous picture of the intermediate work of Jesus Christ in reference to the prayers of the people of God. Jesus Christ has dealt with our enemy. The Lord Jesus Christ does more than just mediate between your prayers. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dealt totally and finally with the enemy of your old nature on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 6. Now the Sunday night folks are going to be saying, Pastor Graves, don't you have any other sermon to preach than this? Because they've been hearing this in the book of Ephesians for quite a while. But folks, I find that the Bible is emphasizing this struggle in both the Old and New Testament. So when we find it in the Old Testament, we'll preach it in the Old Testament. When we find it in the New, we'll preach it in the New Testament. We're going to look to the New Testament here now. And what do we find? We find that the Paul says, what shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says, God forbid. He said, don't you know that you were baptized into Jesus Christ? This is spirit baptism here. When you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were baptized by the Spirit. And he said, therefore you were buried with him, that you might come up in Christ to the new life, that the new nature might come into your life, that you might then rise up with the ability to please God through yieldedness to this new resurrected nature that you have, resurrection life that is yours, in the possession of the nature of Christ within your very life. Knowing this, then, what does it say in verse 6? That our old man, our old nature, the flesh, has been crucified that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. This is a marvelous thing, Christian. This verse tells us that spiritually speaking, when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, your old nature died too. He not only died to pay your sin, but he died to put your old nature to death so that you can have victory over it. It's dead if you'll just believe it. And that's what he asks you to do in verse 11. He says in verse 11, likewise, consider yourselves. That word reckon is not a good word. I wish they'd change it in the new translation. You know, the word reckon is used in some part of the country as sort of something that might happen. You say to people, you think it'll rain? Oh, I reckon it might. You know what that means? That means that maybe it will and maybe it won't. Is that right? How many Southerners we have here? Yeah. You say, Pastor Gray, you think we'll go to the picnic tomorrow? I say, oh, I reckon so. That means maybe we will and maybe we won't, right? That's not what it means here. Oh, no. This means believe it to be true. That your old nature is dead indeed unto sin. And you are now alive unto God through the new nature. And so the second resource that we have from Christ is the fact that we have a Savior who has put our old nature to death so that we can have victory. Now, how do you make that, how do you claim that reality in your life? You claim it by believing it and applying it when it's needed. Does your old nature talk to you? The people on Sunday night know the answer because I've told them this over and over again. Mine talks to me. What do you get to do when that old nature talks to you? Talk back to it. Pastor Graves, that's ridiculous. You don't have to talk out loud. Haven't you ever talked to people without saying anything? Haven't you ever been in a line in the department store, somebody crowds ahead of you, and you say, you dirty one. Were you talking to them? Who do you think you are? Were you talking to them? You sure were. You didn't say anything. Sometimes you even do it like this. You know how you do. Sure you do. Sure you know. Now you can talk without saying anything out loud. Does that old nature talk to you? I'll say it does. That old nature sees something out here and it wants to respond. And that old nature says, hey, look at that. That's good. Let's try that. Well, the new nature says, wait, the conscience says, I don't believe that's honoring to God. I don't think God wants. Come on. Let's do it. Right there. You say, Pastor Graves, that's silly. That's what the Bible says. Right there, talk to it. Say, listen here, fella. You're dead. Be still. I didn't even hear you. Oh, Jesus Christ, help me to believe it. It's dead. Stop talking. I don't believe you're there. You're dead in Christ. I believe you're finished. Dead people can't influence me. I believe you're dead. Listen, dear Christian friend, you start talking to that old nature, you'll find you begin to get results. You say, Pastor Graves, you're out of your mind. I may be out of my mind, but I find it works for me. And I find if I try to ignore it, and if I don't really talk about it and tell it, now listen, you're dead in Christ, you're died, I believe you're dead, I'm going to get victory over this. If I don't begin to deal with it, you know what happens? It just won't be ignored. It just won't be ignored. I find that old nature of mine sometimes will come back hours later when I think it's all gone if I haven't dealt with it and assert itself again. Yours do that? Why, it's persistent, isn't it? That old nature is a rebel against God. It's vicious, it's wicked, and it doesn't quit. But thank God in Christ it's dead, if you'll believe it, and if you'll make it yours. I challenge you today to go out of this place and begin to try what I have suggested to you here this morning. And I submit to you that if you will try this, that you will find that God will begin to give you victories in your life as you begin to claim God's word in reference. Listen, did God suggest talking to it? Well, that's exactly what it says when it says, reckon it to be dead. That means consider it to be dead. Say that it's dead. And dear Christian, talk to it. Talk back as furiously as you can. Jesus Christ offers daily strength in your life to do this. The Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ now lives in me. And the life which I now live by the Son, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul said, Jesus Christ is there every day. Not only has he put it to death, but he's there to strengthen me in my hour of need. He's right there in my heart, so that when that old nature asserts itself, I'm not alone, but I can turn to him and say, oh, Jesus Christ, stand with me in this thing. Just as Aaron stood by Moses and held his hands up, so Jesus Christ is there at the door of your heart, within your life, and he's ready to hold up your hand. He's ready to stand with you against this nature. And dear friend, if you try to stand against him, if you try to overcome that old nature without him, you're lost, because that old nature is too strong. It's too strong, apart from the power of Jesus Christ. Not only is he there in our lives, but he also is our advocate before the throne of God. 1 John 2:1, if any man sin, we have an advocate with God, a representative before the Father in heaven. And then Hur is on the other side. And the name Hur means brightness. And that, I believe, speaks to us of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ is a third resource that the believer has. Resource number one, prayer. Resource number two, the person and work of Jesus Christ. Resource number three, the Holy Spirit of God lives in your heart. He's there to guide you and to direct you in the truth. And the Bible tells us in Romans 8:26 that we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit of God makes groanings for us and intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Bible reveals to us that the Holy Spirit of God is there to labor on your behalf in this battle against Amalek and against the old nature. And there are times when you can't pray. There are times when you're almost overcome, but the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God will pray when you can't. Oh, what a great God we have. A God who says, listen, when you get to the end of your rope, I'll pick up and take on from there. Just stand with me. Just believe. Just hold on to me. Dear Christian friend, you don't have any excuse for that old nature getting out of hand. What a wonderful group of resources God has given to us. And then we find in verse 12b, oh, I'm still over in Acts, sir. I don't know how I got to Acts. Let's get back to Exodus. We find in verse 12b, Moses' hands were heavy, but they held him up on one side. And then we read in verse 13, and Joshua vanquished, discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And that's the fourth resource that we have, is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that this book is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's quick and powerful. The Word of God is the fountain of strength. The Word of God was prepared for us by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God. And what does the psalmist say? Thy word have I what? Hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. And dear Christian, your resource, what your fourth resource against sin and against the old onslaught of the old nature in your life is to begin to put God's Word into your life. The psalmist tells us the greatest fortification that the believer can have is a great fount of the Word of God stored up in his life. How much of God's Word are you memorizing? How many verses did you learn in 1972? How many of you put on your schedule for 1973? Dear Christian, do you want to get over this? Do you want to get victory over this old nature? Then start memorizing God's Word. The psalmist says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. When Jesus Christ was tempted by Satan, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do in every case? He turned to the Word of God and he quoted passages of Scripture to Satan. Do you have trouble with a particular sin in your life? Every one of us have king sins that trip us up more than others. Dr. Bob Jones used to preach on that. He called it the king sin. I heard a sermon on that once. The king sin in people's lives. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We have sins that are particular problems to us. You know what's your greatest resource against that? Memorize the statements in God's Word that have to do with that particular problem. And every time that old nature begins to assert itself toward that area of weakness in your life, then just let your mind begin to pour forth the pages of God's Word that deal with that particular subject. You know what you'll find? You'll find that God's Word is true. And the Bible says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, I've had a lot of people come to my office and say, Pastor, I'm having trouble with this. I'm having trouble with that. And I've said to many, many people, well, listen, if you memorize verses of Scripture, I believe that'll go a long way toward giving you victory in your life. But you know what I find? I find when they come back the next time, I said, how's the memory work coming? Oh, I haven't gotten started. Haven't gotten started yet. You want victory? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, dear friend, I don't think it's possible to have victory in the Christian life without earnest effort and study and memorization of the Word of God. You see, you've got to apply all of the resources. You say, why? Because this foe is strong. It takes everything that God gives you to fight him and overcome him. It takes prayer. It takes the application of the work of Jesus Christ. It takes yieldedness to the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And then it takes an inpouring of God's Word into your life. If you do nothing else this morning, when you go out of here making a commitment between you and God, oh God, by your grace, I'll seek to learn at least one verse every week. God, I'm going to start putting your Word in my heart. I'm going to start memorizing it. I'm going to start practicing what you say. Deuteronomy chapter 25, he talks about this struggle with Amalek in the 18th verse. And he said, you remember when Amalek came against you, the only ones he got were the hindermost parts, the ones who were walking the furthest behind. And so it is, folks. The further away you walk from Jesus Christ, the further away you stay from fellowship with him, and from fellowship in his word, the more vulnerable you are to attack. It's the hindermost people that were overcome. But those who were standing in the middle, those who were up to the front, they overcame. They overcame. When you walk close to Jesus Christ, you overcome. What's the future for the believer with the old nature? I'm hurrying along because I want to finish up. And I'm 1 minute over time. But here it is. The future is revealed in verses 14 and 16. Verse 16 tells us that this struggle with Amalek was going to go on from generation to generation. Friend, I cannot promise you this morning that you can have this battle and walk out of here and have it over once and for all so that you'll never again in your Christian life be troubled with the old nature. I can tell you this morning that this battle with the old nature is going to continue until the day you die. And you're going to need the help of God every step of the way to overcome it. But verse 14 tells you that the Lord said to Moses, a day will come. And he said, you write this for memorial in the book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For the day will come when I will utterly put out remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And I thank God that one day, after when I stand before God in my resurrection body, that there'll be something missing. You know what it'll be? It'll be that old nature. I thank God that if I walk through the door of physical death, that the moment I die, I leave my body behind, and not only will I leave my body behind, but I'll leave that old nature behind too. I don't know where it goes, but it's going to go somewhere. It's not going with me. Why? Because it's not welcome in heaven, and it was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and when the body dies, it dies. I'd like to share with you in closing Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. And there it gives to us this glorious promise concerning our future, a future without the old nature. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly body, or our vile body, that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to what? Subdue all things unto himself. That body in that day will be a glorified, resurrected body, possessing only the nature of Jesus Christ, wanting only to please God, never once even thinking about sin. Oh, that's heaven. Sure, that's heaven. That's heaven. No sin. Old nature's gone. Struggle's over. Only the new nature of Jesus Christ with which to please God for all eternity. Praise God for that. Amen? Amen. Oh, I'm looking forward to that kind of a situation. And I, you know what? In that day, there will not even be the remembrance of it. I'll not even remember that I once had a part of me that wanted to sin. Praise God. Praise God. And not only that, I'll not remember it, and God will not remember it. Isn't that great? Your sin will I what? Remember what? No more. No more. Now, Christians, we've talked to you about some very practical truths this morning. I hope that you will carefully consider the things we've spoken to you about today, and by God's grace, apply them and make decisions where it is needful in your life. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, you know our needs today. Lord, you have brought us face to face in the Old Testament here with the warfare of the old nature and the new nature. And God, here in the Old Testament, you laid out for us in symbolic form, this glorious picture of the resources given to us in Christ, granted to us that we might have victory in the Christian life. God, may we apply these resources to our life. May we open up and keep the door of prayer open between us and God. Lord, may we identify with Jesus Christ and the death of our own nature on the cross. May we appropriate, Lord, his personal presence in our life and strength in the hour of need. May we, Lord, look to the Spirit of God and yield our will to him that he might operate our life in pleasing, with a life pleasing to God through the power and inspiration and through the operation of the nature of Christ that's now within us. And God, may we open up the Word of God and fortify our lives with the precious promises of God's Word that you have said will keep us from sinning. And then, God, may we look forward with joyful anticipation to that day when he shall come again, and our bodies will be changed, and there will be no more remembrance of sin. Father, whatever area we need help in today, grant that we might reach out and take it for ourselves. Now we ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
This message has been brought to you by the Santa Rosa Bible Church. Our mission is to see the lost reached and believers transformed by Jesus. You can find out more information about us at our website at srbible.org. Or you can visit us in person at 4575 Badger Road in Santa Rosa, California. You can also reach us by phone at 707-538-2385.